We've been looking at the parables. Get back to where we're going here. We've been looking at the parables of the kingdom of God in Matthew chapter 13. And we have seen some real lessons of what the kingdom of God is really about. We have seen that the kingdom of God is full of the blessings that he offers to us. We have seen the parable of the sower. The kingdom of God bears fruit. Remember, we had a little list of things that the kingdom of God brought about, and I'll go over them again here. The kingdom of heaven bears fruit, parable of the sower. The kingdom of heaven is infiltrated and imitated by the work of the wicked one. Remember the wheat and the tares. The kingdom of heaven grows. It's like a mustard seed, the smallest seed, and yet it grows into a great tree. The kingdom of heaven influences. Now you're going to tell me what that parable was. The parable of the yeast. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. You got it now, right? You'll never forget that one now. It influences. It is powerful in that it grows and it cannot be stopped, and that it influences and it reaches in and it touches the very depth of our souls. And it influences all over the planet. Praise the Lord. That's the way God works. He puts it on somebody's heart to reach to the Mexican or the Guatemalan people. That's the kingdom of heaven at work. It just works and moves. And I praise the Lord for that. It's distinct and it's separate. We saw the kingdom parable being used of the fish in the sea and how the good fish were gathered in and the fish that were no good were thrown out. And is showing, of course, that there will be a time of judgment, and we've seen that. And the kingdom of heaven is full of resources. And I don't think I have this one listed in here, that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in the field. But we did see that. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. So we're going to come now to this one in Matthew. The kingdom of heaven is full of resources. Jesus said this. He said to them, "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old." Now, this is a concluding statement after giving all of these lessons on the kingdom. And he says, "Now, what I want you to understand is that this every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like this householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old." My uncle was kind of like a pack rat. You know what a pack rat is? Yeah, well, I'm kind of like a pack rat too. So I'm sure there's a few more of them here. Pack rat is somebody who just, they save everything, right? They got it all stored here and there and everywhere. My uncle was a farmer, and he was a pack rat when it came to machinery and parts and stuff. And you could go up to his place, and I kind of like going to his place. I'd go into his barn and start going through all his little drawers. And it all looked like chaos to everybody except him. He had an organized mess. He seemed to know where everything was. Like, he'd say, "Go in there, go over to this door, go in there and get that little, there's a little bolt in there." He said, "I'm pretty sure that little bolt will be just what we need to fix something." And sure enough, you follow his instructions, it was exactly where he said it was. But it just looked like chaos to anybody else. But he had stuff. And a lot of times when he was broke down or when something was, he needed a part, needed something, he could jury rig something together because he had stuff to work with. And what, you know, when I often thought about that with my uncle, now my uncle's passed away and most of that stuff is gone now, but he had treasure. Now, to everybody else, it wasn't much treasure. It looked like a pile of junk. But to him, it was a treasure because he knew what he could do with it. He realized that there were resources there for him. And the example that's given here is like a householder. That's somebody who has a home, right? Now, I know that often we're always saying, "Look, we all have too much stuff. We have too much stuff. Throw it out, you know? But sometimes it's handy to have some stuff on hand, isn't it? Sometimes it's handy. All of a sudden, you need something, and you realize, "Oh, I just gave that away about a month ago." Right? I wish I had that back right now. Now, that doesn't mean, I'm not encouraging you to be a pack rat, okay? I'm not encouraging you. Travel light through this world. The Bible says, you know, not to cling to the things of this world. But Jesus is giving this as an illustration of spiritual things. And what he's saying that spiritually we need to have a storehouse of truth. Now notice what he says here. The kingdom of heaven is therefore every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven. Now what was a scribe? Anybody know? Okay, someone who wrote the scriptures. That's really what they did. And because they were scholars and because they wrote the scriptures, they were not only those who sat down and wrote scripture, but often they were recognized and looked to as people who were authorities in the scripture. And so Jesus is saying that every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a household who brings out of his treasure things new and old. So where is Jesus relating this treasure that we have spiritually? Where's the treasure? Pardon me? It's in the Word of God. Right? You see, because he's saying it's every scribe. That is those who are involved in memorizing, because that's what they had to do, and in recording and in keeping the Word of God. And so he says that with the truths concerning the kingdom of heaven are deposited in the Word of God. They're in the Word of God. And he says, now, someone, this scribe, is like the householder. And the householder has in his house things that are new and things that are old. Hopefully they all have a purpose, right? But that householder has these things in their house. And they bring out sometimes something that's old, and sometimes they bring out something that's new. And this is what he says that the scribe of the kingdom of heaven is like. Someone who is instructed in the things of the kingdom of God finds their resources in the Word of God. And that's the picture that he gives here as he speaks about this after giving all these lessons in parables. Now, I don't know about you, but that tells me that God is vitally interested that we understand the Word of God, that we take in the Word of God, and that we keep the Word of God. You see, if I didn't know, if I was a householder and I needed a potato peeler, and I didn't know where the potato peeler was, what would I have to do? Use a knife, right? I know, yeah. I wouldn't be able to peel the potatoes with that potato peeler because I don't know where it's at, right? So I could have things in my house, but if I don't know where they are, and I can tell you, I am a pack rat, but I also don't know where anything is. but if I don't know where they are, then you can spend an awful lot of time, right, looking for something, and then when you finally get it, it's almost like you've lost that time. It's gone, right? You don't have it at your fingertips. You don't know where it's at. Well, it's like the Word of God. You know, if I don't open God's Word and I don't read God's Word and I don't find out what God has to say, then I don't have the resources. Even though they're mine, I'm not enjoying them. And not only am I not enjoying them, I can't use them because I don't know where they're at. It's like I don't even know where anything is in the Bible. So if I don't know where anything is in the Bible, I can't access it, right? I have a vague idea somewhere. There's something in the Bible about that, but I don't know. And so there's an encouragement here for us to get to know the Word of God, to get to know the resources that God has for us. We saw earlier, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, right? And it's a great treasure. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Jesus Christ. But the scriptures tells us in Colossians chapter 2 that they're hidden in Christ. And that means that they're not easily perceived unless I go looking. But if I go looking, seek and you shall find, right? I will find. Oh, the wonderful treasures that we have in Jesus Christ. The fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that we might be saved. The world looks at that, and what does it mean to them? It means nothing. It means nothing at all. But when you become a Christian, when suddenly God begins to open your eyes and you look and you realize, oh, what a treasure. Christ died for our sins. What a treasure. New life in Jesus Christ. What a treasure we have. We discover that the power to live the Christian life, I don't have it. I can't do this. God calls me to a standard that's far beyond what I can do. What do I find in the scriptures? Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's not me that lives, but Christ who lives in me. What a treasure. That not only do we have a Christ who was crucified for us, but a Christ who was risen for us, a Christ who lives in us in the person of the Holy Spirit, a Christ who intercedes for us at the throne room of heaven, and a Christ who's coming for us to take us home to be with him in heaven. Isn't that treasure? Isn't it good to know that? But if I don't know that, I don't experience the joy of it. Not only do I not experience it, but I can't share it with anybody else. That's why Jesus gave the picture of a scribe, someone who is a diligent student of the Word of God. And I want to encourage you to be that. And you know, it doesn't matter. Maybe you pick up things quick, and maybe you pick up things slow. But God, as you open the Word of God, and as you pursue to get to know the Lord, the Holy Spirit will enlighten you with what you need to know. As you study. And it will be relevant to where you're at in your experience. Don't compare yourself to other people. You know, you don't have to compare yourself. Oh, that guy seems to be able to quote scripture one after the other. I could never do that. And so I guess there's no point in my reading. No point in my looking in the Bible. That's not true. And I want to tell you something. You can't get all your food from me. You can't do it. You know, if you'd like me to move in with you, live with you, get up in the morning with you, talk with you in the morning, and travel with you all day long, maybe you could get some food from me. But I can tell you this, you get tired of me pretty quick. Well, I was going to say ask my wife, but hopefully she's not tired of me yet. But I want you to know that you can feed yourself from the Word of God. You can open up the Bible and discover for yourself. You can't live on somebody else's faith and just on somebody else's teaching. The Bible teaches us in the book of 1 John that the Spirit himself teaches us. And that he can teach us. He teaches us through other teachers, absolutely. But he also teaches us directly as we open God's Word. And so every scribe is instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven. Everyone that's instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven, he's like this householder. When something is needed, he brings it out. And the beauty of this is that he says his treasure, that he's prizing these things. These are things that are important. And it is true, sometimes we have a lot of clutter in our home. Sometimes physically in our homes, we just have too much stuff. And some of it's of no value, and it's not real treasure. Count the things that are valuable and hold on to those. Get rid of the other stuff, but count what is valuable and hold on to it. And that doesn't mean that everything new is good or that everything old and everything old is bad. He says he's a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. Now, this picture that's given here is a picture that the resourcefulness of God, the provision of God, and I, you know, when I look at this passage, I think of the Old Testament scriptures were given to them, and yet somehow they didn't understand what they really meant. Most of them had missed the point, and they didn't understand the newness that had come in the person and work of Jesus Christ, and so the old wasn't much value to them because they weren't living in the new. And so you need to have both. You have new things and you have old things. And I want you to know that the scriptures are, they're old. They've been around. They've been around a long time, haven't they? Both the Old and the New Testament today. They're old. But someone has said, 'tis old yet ever new. There's something about the Word of God that even though it's old, there's something new about it. And the newness that comes, we'll find, is in the New Testament. The Bible talks about walking in the newness of the Spirit. Not the oldness of the letter, but the newness of the Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives actually marries the old and the new together. It marries all of the scriptures, which have been with us for centuries, millennium, yet the Spirit of the living God, the freshness of the presence of the Spirit of God in my life enables me to open the Word of God and understand it, because I can't understand it without Him. I need both the old and I need the new. I need all that God has for me. I need all of His treasure. I need to walk in the Spirit. I need to know what God has to say. You know, when you open up the Bible, I tell you, it's a good thing to open it up prayerfully. It really is. Because I won't understand it right without the Spirit of God. I need every plus I can get. I need the Holy Spirit to teach me and reveal the truth. Even Jesus told His disciples that the Spirit of God would bring to remembrance the things that they've been taught to them. That the Holy Spirit's purpose would be not to testify of Himself, but to testify of Jesus. He will take what is mine and He will show it to you. That's what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. So I need the person of the Holy Spirit working in my life so I can understand what God has to say to me. Because this is a walk that I have to walk daily. And the Bible says God's mercies are new every morning, Lamentations chapter 3. And that means I need to walk with God every morning. It's not a dry, empty book. It's not just an old book. So many people think of the Bible as just some old book that somebody wrote a long time ago. How is it relevant for today? Gary was mentioning recently, he's amazed at how relevant the scriptures are to today, even though they've been written thousands of years ago. And it's a joy to discover that this isn't ancient history. This is today. This is God speaks today from the Word of God, which is old, and yet it's ever new. And God has given us such incredible resources in order to know Him and to understand how to walk and how to live and how to be a blessing to others, because that's what a scribe was supposed to be. They were supposed to be a blessing to others. But how can I be a blessing if I don't mind the treasure that I have? If I don't make use of the treasure that God has given to me? And so as He gives this statement, as He speaks about these parables and the lessons that are in them, He's telling us, listen, you need all of this. You need all that I have for you if you want to live. And you need to be diligently studying it. That's the picture of the scribe. You need to be ready to share it. That's the other picture of the scribe. You need to know where it's at. Have some concept of what's there, what you have in Jesus Christ, in terms of the Word of God, in terms of the presence of God and the Spirit of God. That's the picture there of the householder who brings out of his treasure. And you need to understand what valuable treasure you have in the Lord. How precious it is to be a Christian. How glorious it is to walk and talk and live in the things of God. You know what delights me? When we get into conversations as Christians, that before long, we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about life. We're talking about things that matter. And sometimes, you know, Christians can get together. They'll talk about the weather. They'll talk about TV shows. They'll talk about fishing. They'll talk about whatever. Whatever it is. But will they talk about Jesus? Is that what's on their hearts? Is that what's on their lives? Is that what's on our lips? Let's enjoy this treasure. Let's mine the treasure. And the beauty of that is not only does God bless me with truths about Himself and about His Word and how God is speaking to me, but also He blesses others. And in turn, they bless me and I bless them. And wow, the treasure just seems to multiply, or the resources that we have in Jesus, they just grow. God has much for us. There was a professor at a Bible school, I can't even remember his name, but I remember reading about him, that the first thing he would do when he saw a student, he would ask them this question. So what did God say to you today in your quiet time? You know, many of the students learned to avoid him. And do you know why? Because some of them weren't having a quiet time at all. Can you imagine? You know, if I said to you today, so can you tell me, what did God say to you in your quiet time with God this morning? Would you be able to say, this is what God had to say? Yes, Sheldon? Pardon me?
I told him to have his way with me.
Okay, that's good. I'm not asking you everybody what they said. I might put somebody on the spot here. I don't want you to run from me next time you see me. Yes. Okay, that's what God told you this morning. Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful that you're volunteering. But you see, you could miss so much. And he did that on purpose because he wanted the young people to realize God speaks every day. Daily, God speaks. And, you know, I gave you a little outline a little while back on how to have a daily quiet time. And I trust that you're using that because it can be a great blessing to you if you actually take time to think about the scripture that you're reading and looking to the Lord. He can speak volumes to us. And it is new. It becomes new. It becomes fresh. And it deals with the affairs of life on that particular day because God is real and powerful so that I have these resources at my fingertips. And God himself is there. And the newness of the Spirit is upon me. So that when I'm going through life, God speaks to me in the morning. And boy, I tell you, often God has spoken to me in the morning. And by the afternoon, it's being applied. He's very practical. You know, God is not interested in a bunch of people sitting up, in an ivory tower and learning stuff. And say, what did you learn? Oh, what did you learn? Oh, I learned more than you. And let's learn some more. And let's learn. No, he wants us to learn it so that it becomes part of our walk, right? The Bible speaks about walking in newness of life. And I'm just going to refer to that passage. Whoops, press F5 for me again. I got to go down to the end here. In the book of Romans, it speaks about, I should have put this on a separate file. I did it again. Yeah. Okay, I'll go slower this time. In Romans chapter 7, but now we have been delivered from the law, and he's speaking there in reference to living by law instead of grace, having died to what we're held by so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. And sadly, even some Christians, they're living in the oldness of the letter. They're saying, well, here's the Bible, now we just got to try and follow it the best we can. And they don't understand that it's a person of the Holy Spirit living in me that enables me to do that. That's the newness. So the old and the new come together in the place where God works, takes the scriptures, and makes them real to me by the power of the Holy Spirit. Every hour, I need to know what it is to walk with God. So as Jesus shares all these parables with the people and with his disciples, he wants them to understand that, listen, I'm not telling you these parables just so you have a little bit of head knowledge. I'm telling you these parables because they're going to apply to life. And you know, the picture of a householder is a beautiful picture. Because someone who is living in a house, they're busy. A householder is someone who is looking after their home, someone who is practically doing stuff all day long. Isn't that right? That's my wife is like that anyway, right? Me, sometimes I'm in the house, sometimes I'm not. But a householder is someone who's busy. Someone who's working, someone who's constantly having to do things. It's not just sitting in the ivory tower. But then he relates it and he says, it's like the householder, which means you're busy. It means you're making use of your home. You're living in your home. You know, I mean, when you got, five kids, you guys, when you're home, you're living, 1, 2, 3, 4, is it 6? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right, yeah, okay. Your home is a busy home. I imagine this. We had 8 when I was growing up. We were busy. There was always activity going on. And there was always somebody looking for something. Right? Yeah, that's the truth. Yeah. And food, yeah, feed me, right? Yeah, there's 3 meals a day to be prepared. This is a householder is a busy place. And believe me, when Jesus spoke this, they didn't have small families at that time, you know. The only times small families is we're living in it now, but boy, I tell you, and they're busy homes, and there needs to be always something on the go. It's organized chaos most of the time because there's all this stuff that needs to be prepared and stuff for school or whatever you're doing, and you need all these resources in order to function properly. And Jesus says, look, the kingdom of heaven is like this. You don't think that God has not given us all that we need for life and for godliness? That there's treasures, as we saw in the earlier parable, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, and that that we can come and we can get that treasure and we sell everything to own it. We understand the value of the treasure of the kingdom of God. We accessed all these treasures so that we might live for the glory of God, that we might be a blessing to our families, we might be a blessing to our community, we might be a blessing in our church. Oh, I want to encourage you, live in the Word of God. Live in the presence of God. Know the newness of the Spirit of God working in your life every single day. Take up the Word of God, live in it, and discover all that God has to say to you daily. It will be very practical. I tell you, if you're properly heavenly minded, you're going to be of some earthly good. And I want to encourage you to that. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven. He's instructed, he's taught, he understands, and as a result of it, he's like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. Often I have been in situations where someone is speaking to me about a need and a situation in their lives. And there are times when I'm overwhelmed. There's a lot of brokenness, a lot of broken people, a lot of hurting situations. What do I do? But God, as I lean on the Spirit of God, as I have taken time to learn what God has to say, and sometimes there's something I've learned 20 years ago. It's there, somewhere buried in there. And here I am in this situation, and all of a sudden, boy, the Spirit of the Lord, as I lean on Him, walking in the newness of the Spirit, He brings to mind that very situation, that illustration, that truth from God's Word, that nugget that will just speak right into the situation that person is in. I've taken something old, and it has become new to them, right? I've taken something old and it's become new. And sometimes in the middle, even of preaching a sermon, the Spirit of the Lord will speak into my life and I'll see something right there as I'm speaking. God will speak and I'll see something that I had not seen before in the Word as I'm speaking from it. And I can share it because I know that it's from God and it's something new. And it's exciting. This is an incredible walk. I can live in the presence of a God who has all the treasures that I need in order to live effectively in this world and be a blessing to others. Oh, treasure God's Word. Treasure prayer, being in His presence. Treasure walking with God throughout the day. Because then it's like you have all this stuff, but good stuff. And the Spirit of God gives you access to the stuff that you need when you need it, so that you can walk wonderfully in this world with Jesus Christ. That's all I got for you today. It's what I want to encourage you to do, to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to grow. I want to know. You know, when you first get your first house, I remember when Marie and I, this is a long time ago, and we were totally messed up, but I remember us, we ended up in this house together. And we went down to the Salvation Army to get some plates because we had nothing, right? And often when you start out, and I remember when we were first married, we had $12 in our pocket, right? That's all we had. We had, Marie had a nightgown that she converted into a wedding dress, right? And the $12, we had 14 because I used $12 to buy roses. I said, I'm going to buy roses. And I had a borrowed suit, and we got married. We had nothing. We started with nothing. And I mean, that was because of the way we had lived before. But we had nothing. But the little bit that we had, we went along with that. That winter, I remember working in the woods. And I was making like $60 a week sometimes. The snow was up to there. And I had to shovel more snow than I did cut trees. But we had hens and chickens. And I ate eggs that winter, I'm telling you. I'd come home and Marie would make a big dish with scrambled eggs. I mean, I know eggs were cooked every way possible in the world. And I would finish eating and say, how many eggs were in that? She said, well, there was about 8 or 9. So if there's such thing as getting bad cholesterol from eggs, I got to have it. We lived on eggs. We didn't have much, but we were happy. And what we had, the resources that we had, we lived on those resources and we thanked God for them. And those were some of the happiest times we ever had. So you might only have limited resources right now. Maybe you're a new Christian. You just came to know Jesus as your Savior. And maybe all you have is one verse, John 3:16. Well, that's the only verse I know. Wow, you can live on John 3:16. It's powerful. You can think about the love of God for you. You can think about the fact that He gave His Son for you. You can think about the reality. All I did was believe in Him and I have eternal life. I'm never going to perish. I'm going to be in heaven forever. You can live on John 3:16. You can live on Jesus wept. You can live on these things. But God will give you more and more as you grow. Just like kind of the household seems to grow, right? Grows in number, and grows in resources, grows in all these things. So it will be in your life as a Christian. And God calls you to live. And to live in this abundance of the resources that He has. As you grow, He will provide. And it will be just what you need. And it'll be good. Trust in the Lord, friends. Get to know Him. Pursue Him. See what treasures He has for you. And as you do, He'll train you and teach you how to walk in this newness of spirit, using these resources to be a blessing to yourself and to others. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Thank You, Lord, that they're all important. And so often, Lord, we can read a verse like this, and I was tempted just to pass over it and keep going. But Lord, as You had me dwelling on it and thinking about it, You made me realize, Lord, oh Lord, that You're calling us to be alive and making use of all that You've given us in Christ. And that, Lord, the old and the new, it's all good as we walk with You. That, Lord, You teach us and You train us and You show us so much that we can be a blessing to others. So, Lord, I pray You'll make us a people who are hungry for God, hungry for Your word, hungry for prayer, hungry to live with the resources that You have given us. We ask You, Father, to do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Gordon, will you give thanks?